This is kind of be odd if someone's watching this out of context, but I'm an international speaker, I'm a duck, I'm an app maker, totally happy to own all of those things. In this session, I'm going to talk to you about the other type of power apps. We're going to talk about model-driven power apps. You've probably seen a heap of other stuff about Canvas apps today, but this is the other one, and this is awesome to know about. So this is an intro to model-driven power apps and the Common Data Service. As Donna said, I'm also a career changer, so I'm just going to give you a little bit of my story as a context for how I got here. And then what I'm doing in this session, you know, we're assuming no prior knowledge. I'm going to take you through the fundamental concepts of what a relational database is. We're going to get into some database stuff here, but it's not hard. It's going to be okay. And then we're going to look at what is the Common Data Service, what is a model-driven app. And most of this session is going to be a demo where I'm going to show you how to build such a thing and where you can go with it. So this is my journey. The picture on the left is 4 years ago. This was my last day at Oxford University Press. I worked in book publishing for nearly 20 years, and I reached a mid-career now or never moment, and I decided now. I was in an industry that was shrinking. I'd stopped learning. I'd stopped growing. It's a very, very scary thing to give up the thing that you've done for 20 years and that you're an expert in, and mid-career completely start again and change into something else. 4 years on, honestly, best thing I ever did. And I know many of you watching won't have the luxury that I did of that being a choice, but I do want to reassure you that I was not in my 20s when I did this. I had dabbled in the CRM, the sales and marketing systems and so on throughout my career in book publishing, but it wasn't my main job, and I took a big leap to turn that into my main job. I thought I knew a lot about what I was doing. I look back now, I really didn't. Very steep learning curve, but it has been awesome, and there's been so many resources and so much support there in the community to do that. This is me at Ignite, where the same week that I met Donna when she was in Sydney earlier in the year, presenting at a Microsoft event 4 years on from making that huge career change. Happy to connect with anyone who wants to talk more about that journey. So our first core concept I'm going to talk to you about is what a relational database is, because this is at the heart of what we're doing with a model-driven power app. It's all about creating a data model, creating a relational database. No code going on here, though, so it's easy to do this with a nice user interface. You don't have to know a whole heap of back-end stuff. So imagine you are working in an organization where you need to keep track of your customers, your contacts, and the account, the organizations they work for, a simple example. And so each of those things is what we call an entity or a table in a database. The accounts have different attributes associated with them, or fields. So we have the account, which is one type of record, an entity or a table, and we have account number, account name, addresses, those sorts of things. Contact is also a table or an entity, another type of information, and we have the different pieces of information about that. What makes this a relational database is that these things then relate to each other, because you have a situation where one account has many contacts. So in database world, we call this a one-to-many relationship. So what I'm going to do today is take you through how we build this using the Common Data Service. And this is where the Common Data Service comes in, because it is the native database platform that sits inside the Power Platform. So when you're working with Canvas apps and things, you can reach out to all sorts of other data sources, but this is the internal data source baked into the platform. It allows you to create your own data model easily. You're going to see that. It's a nice drag and drop interface. You can store a variety of data in here, so not just the kind of fields and entities I was talking about, but also documents, auditing logs, images, all sorts of things. You could create business logic, different kinds of rules about when data is entered and how it behaves, as well as guided business process flows for the users. And of course, this is part of the platform. At the heart of the platform is that it then is completely interconnected with all of the other awesome things that you've been learning about. So you've got the world at your feet, basically. And of course, security and compliance goes with all of this as well. So then a model-driven power app is actually the front-end user interface that allows the user to interact with that data model that you've just created. So it's called a model-driven power app. A Canvas app that you've been learning about starts with a blank canvas. A model-driven Power App starts with a data model, and then you build over the top of it this lovely user interface in a component-style way. And I'm going to take you through that now in a demo. All right, so when we build a model-driven app, we are starting in the same Power Apps Maker portal, make.powerapps.com. And what you'll see is that when you've got the common data service deployed, you will find entities, so these data types. There's some of them are already there to get you started. So you'll see here we've got things like account and contact. So there's some pre-built entities that you can use or not, you don't have to. You can take them as they are, you can configure them and add extra bits of information if you want to use them in a particular way. You've also got activity entities in there that allow you to track things like tasks and emails and notes and so on. So there's a bunch of stuff that's already pre-built for you. But to get started with building your own app, the first thing you're going to do is create what's called a solution, which in non-technical terms is just a bucket in which we're going to put all the stuff we build. So we're going to build an app, we're going to build a data model, and we're going to contain all of that in a solution, which means that we can move it around and use it in other places if we need to, and it just keeps everything together. So you'll see I've created my solution, and that's it. It's just a holding bucket at this point. There's nothing in there. So the first thing I'm going to do is start building my data model by creating a new entity, a new data type. And what I'm doing here is building an app that allows an organization to order office equipment and track the orders of those pieces of office equipment. So the first entity I'm going to create is for the actual pieces of equipment themselves, the desks, the chairs, the printers, the things that people might want to order. So I give my entity a name, it automatically works out a plural name and what's called a schema name behind the scenes, and I can choose if I want to enable the attachments and notes and things if I think that's relevant to what I'm creating here. Once I've done that, you can see it's saying it's provisioning my entity in the background, cooking up behind the scenes. I can keep going and add other things and start building it. So now what I need to do is build out those fields. What types of pieces of information do I need for my equipment? So I might have a description, for instance, and when you create a field, the first thing you do is choose what type of data that is. So you can see there's a whole range of different data types here. I can have numbers and dates and various things. Once you've chosen this, this is locked in, right? So you have to think carefully about what type of data you're creating. Can't change it later. In this case, a description, I might want several lines of text, so I'm going to make it a text area to give me some room to move. And I can also choose to say that a field is optional or mandatory. And there it is in the list. So now I just keep going. I repeat this same thing over and over again for all of the different types of fields that I want to create. I might have a model number. Now, I'm going to leave this as a text field because it's not behaving as a number. From a database point of view, it's not adding up or subtracting. It's just a reference number, which is still text type of data field. So I'm going to make that one mandatory. We have to have the model number there every time. Next up, I'm going to add a price, which is a special type of field called currency. It'll show a dollar sign. It will actually, in the back end, enable things like multi-currency and currency conversions, more complex than we're going to get into today, but there's a lot going on underneath the hood here of this, you know, drag and drop, click and point user interface that you don't need to build yourself. Now, the next thing I'm going to do is create something called an option set for the type of equipment. An option set you might know as like a drop-down list or a pick list. Every form you've ever filled out will have one of these. Instead of typing in your answer, you have to choose it from the list. So we call that an option set here. And the first thing I need to do when I create an option set is to go in and say, what are the values? What are the things going to be in that drop-down list? Now, comes with a lot of standard ones already. I'm not going to use any of the standard ones because I'm creating my own one here. So what should we say? We're doing office equipment. We're going to order desks, chairs, printers. Does anyone still use printers? I do occasionally. and maybe some cool stuff for the office kitchen. So you can sort of see where I'm going here. You would flesh this out more. You can add as many options in there as you like. So now I've created my option set called equipment type. If I want with an option set, I can actually set a default value so that it comes up as a certain thing. In this case, that doesn't make any sense, so I'm not going to have a default value. And I am done. My entity has been provisioned successfully. Always good to see the green line. Don't forget to save. It's heartbreaking when people do all this work and they forget to press the save button. So we're good to go. Now, what we're seeing on the screen there before I saved and as it comes back up is the fields that I've created. Those are my sort of custom fields there. But I just want to show you what's going on behind the scenes in the background here. I've got a filter that I'm just seeing the ones that I've created. But if I see all of them, when you provision a new entity in the Common Data Service, it creates a whole lot of scaffolding behind the scenes here. You'll see there's bits for owner, created on, created by, modified on. I didn't create, you saw me build this, I didn't create any of that. That is just done for you and helps you to kind of manage all of the records in the database. I find when I'm building, it's easier just to look at that kind of custom view as well. All right, so now what we're going to do is go ahead and create a second entity, and this one is going to be for the orders themselves. So I've gone back into my solution. You can see the entity just created and that option set have been added to my solution. That's the bucket, keeping everything in there. So now what I'm going to do is add an equipment order entity. And this is going to be the actual orders that are placed. And this is about, you know, when was the order placed, which piece of equipment was placed, which piece of equipment was ordered, and who ordered it. So this is going to be about creating some relationships going on in the data here as well. So I've got my equipment order. What I'm going to do now, I gave the primary name field a different primary field, a different name there. What I'm going to do now is create some different types of fields. So we'll play around with dates. So the order date, I can choose date and time or date only. I only really care about the date here, so that's good. The next thing I'm going to do is create an estimated arrival date. Now, this is an example of business logic in the Common Data Service because I'm going to create what's called a calculated field. So this is going to take something else that's in the system, and we're going to create a calculation here so that we say the estimated arrival date is always 14 days after the order date. Now, that's super simple. Obviously, you can expand on that. You could put in different lead times for different types of equipment, different types of rules. So this is where you can start to bring that kind of business logic into the picture here. So I do this by adding an action, and I'm going to say, I'm going to set the arrival date to be this add days function, 14 days after the order date, which is what I've created. So relatively simple formula there. And again, you can go further with this and have all sorts of ifs, buts and maybes in there if that's what you want to do. So we're done with editing our calculated field. You do have to have pop-ups enabled in your browser, by the way, to do that. trick for beginners that trips you up. So now I'm going to create the relationships because I've got an order. We know when it was ordered. We know when it's due. But what are we ordering? Like we're actually ordering a piece of equipment. So let's add that in. This is a special type of field, which is called a lookup field, that allows you to create a relationship to something else in that data model. So I'm going to create a lookup back to the equipment. So we can say this order is related back to a certain piece of equipment, a certain desk or a certain chair or whatever it is that the person wanted to order. So I create this lookup field, I go in and I find my equipment table, my equipment entity, and save, and that's created that. I'm going to do the same for linking this to the person who placed the order. Now, in this case, I'm imagining this is a scenario for internal use. So what I'm going to do is choose a table here that already exists in the Common Data Service, which is called users. This is all of the internal users in the system. So I don't even have to add them all in. This an internal scenario would be internal people placing the orders. So what we've got now is a data model, which has the different types of office equipment that people can order, and then an entity for tracking that links back to who was it, who ordered it, and links back to what was it that they ordered. So you'll see there that those relationships, those data model relationships, have been set up. The beauty here is I didn't even have to get my head around one to many, many to one concepts. I just say link that back, and it puts that in for me, and it's created those relationships for me. So this is what we're talking about when we say a low-code way of building a database. All that scaffolding is in there, the relationships are just kind of connected up for you, and we're good to go. You'll see that that's added the extra piece into my solution for me automatically because I brought it in. So it's brought it into my solution as well, all of the bits I need in that solution bucket. So the next thing we need to do now is configure what the screens are going to look like. So when the user comes into the database and they open up, for instance, the record for equipment, what should they see on the screen? And that's called a form. So again, nice drag and drop interface. I'm showing you here, sometimes it does prompt you to sign in depending on how long you've been you've been going about it or what your sign-in requirements and security is. So that's perfectly normal. So what we see here is the sort of the skeleton, if you like, of a form. And there's not much here at the moment. There's a timeline by default, which enables me to track things like emails and notes and stuff. I don't think that's particularly relevant here. So no, don't want that. Get rid of it. Easy. And then the owner of the record, also something I don't want sort of front and center there. So I'm just going to drag and drop that and put it up in the header. So you can have things sitting in the header of the record and you can choose what goes there. Now from here, I'm just bringing in those bits of information that I built before. Remember, we created, this is an equipment. Someone might be looking through the database or adding these records. And we have, you know, this is a chair. The chair has a red seat and a mesh back. It's this type of, you know, it's this reference number and so on. So you can see I can drag and drop the components in. And this is what we mean by a component design. So the Canvas app stuff starts with a blank canvas and you're pixel perfect putting everything everywhere. This isn't that. This is a component design. So I'm bringing the different components in, choosing where to put them on the screen. And I can have different tabs and sections and headings and things, but I'm not pixel perfect down to the last moment designing. I'm actually kind of dragging components onto the screen. The other thing I need to create is a view. So when I go into my database, what is my column setup? What does my list look like? So this is, again, I'm just going to drag all of those pieces on to create that nice column setup. And I don't want created on, that's irrelevant. So we'll get rid of that. And I can also choose what my sorting order is. So I might say, well, when I look at this view by default, I want it to have a certain order. So I'm going to say, let's sort it instead of by the name, let's sort it in order of the model number, for instance. So we can go in and do that. I can switch the order around. So again, that's what that's going to look like on the screen. Now, once you've got data in your database, once you're looking at this, you can actually see a bit of a preview there. It's all blank at the moment because we're building it from the ground up. Okay, we're getting there. So we now need to just do the same thing for equipment type. So while that's going, I'll just sort of recap on where we've come so far. We are creating a data model here that tracks equipment, pieces of office equipment. So it's like a little catalog of equipment. We've got an entity that is for the orders, and that is related back to which piece of equipment it is. It's related back to which internal user actually placed the order. And we are doing a component-driven design on views, which is the list view, the column view of how you view those records, and the forms, which is when you open one up, what do I see on the screen? What I'm doing here in order to kind of give you beginner level in a 25-minute session is a nice straightforward form. At the end, I'm going to show you what this can look like fleshed out a little bit more because you can start to get quite sophisticated. What I'm doing here is adding in another section, for instance. So you'll see I've put in another box and I've given it a heading. So you can start to kind of pull your components out into different columns and sections and things to make that screen layout nice and easy to use. And we can choose to put labels and things on it. We can, you know, change the heading. You'll see there I'm giving that one a heading. And when we're done, we save. So we've now got our form done for the equipment order. You'll see there the estimated arrival date has a little padlock next to it. That indicates that that's a field that you won't be able to edit. You remember that was a calculated field. So we're setting the value of that to be 14 days after the order date. You can't go in and change it because the system is doing that calculation. So the last piece here is just to create our view for the equipment order entity. So we'll just do a quick drag and drop of those things onto there and we're all good. So we've got our data model. Now our data model here is very basic. It's only two entities. The concept here is that you can build out a data model with dozens or hundreds of entities and all sorts of different relationships, but start here, start with a couple and work your way up. go back into our solution, and now we publish. So publishing pushes it live. We've done all of this kind of stuff and saved it. Publishing means we're ready to go. So that's our data model done. All of that was using the common data service. We've built a data model with no code. We've put some business logic in there. And now what we're going to do is create our model-driven app. The model-driven app now is just the final piece, the front end of this. So I'm going to go new model-driven app. We give our app a name, so we're going to call this one equipment ordering. And because I've been working in a solution, this is actually going to make it nice and easy for us, because I can just say I want to use an existing solution to create the app, and it's automatically going to pull in everything that I've just built to become part of my app. Let's go through the stages here. And so what happens now, this is now behind the scenes, the configuration of the app. It's showing me which entities, which parts of my data model are in there, the forms and views, so I can select different forms and views to be in or out of my app. And the one thing that's missing, you see the big red, hey, pay attention to me, is the sitemap. So the sitemap is the navigation. This is the final piece in the puzzle. We've got all the data models, we've component-driven our screens and so on. Now we just need to put that navigation menu around it, which will allow us to work around it. So I can create different areas in the navigation menu. I'm just going to add the different pieces in here. So we're going to add a subheading, and you'll see this in the final app, what this looks like. And then I bring my entities in as I wish to be part of the navigation menu in the order that I want them to be. So I'm going to bring in my equipment entity and my equipment order entity. That's it. We've built a model-driven app. Are you ready? I'm going to save that and publish it. Now, the last step here is just to validate and just make sure that we've got all the pieces lined up. So we go back into our app designer and we save that, and then we just validate to see whether or not we've got any errors. So we've got one warning, which is basically saying the user. So remember, I brought in user to link up who ordered it. And I haven't sort of done any work of choosing which views and forms. There's just a warning saying everyone's going to see everything. I'm okay with that. It's the red warnings you've got to worry about. The yellow ones are okay. Publish and play. Here we go. Model-driven app done. So this is what it looks like. All of the rest of this user interface stuff was already done. When I say create model-driven app, all this stuff with, you know, Excel, export to Excel, it's a fully responsive interface. All of that stuff is done. All of that is ready. And now these are the components that I created. So this is my equipment form. Remember that we put together. So this is just showing you the data entry experience on this form. I'm going to use one of my favorite little tricks here, which is cupcake ipsum, just to rather than kind of typing in particular things. And we will save and close that. So now I've got a record of an equipment. And you'll see down the side there, while I just create another one, the navigation menu that I just created. The little jigsaw piece icons you can change as well into custom icons. And now I'm going to create an order. So maybe I've come along and I want to order a chair. So we put in an order reference. I can look up what equipment. So that was one of the pieces of equipment I just created. I can look up who ordered it. So these are these lookup fields, and you'll see they're coming up as kind of hyperlinks. So that's actually a relationship in the database connecting those bits together. I put in my order date, and then what happens is when I save it, that calculated field just calculates to 14 days from now. And we're good. Save and close. All right, so that's what happens there. And then the next thing we see is that you can start to flesh out your app a little bit more than that if you want. So this is what I've done, you know, beyond that's the sort of the 15 minute initial demo, but you can start to bring other things in here as well. So for instance, this is now a fleshed out version of that equipment entity where I've brought in an image. I've put in a nice kind of a related kind of thing about reviews. Maybe people internally are reviewing things. We can display that with a nice star rating. We can also bring in something called a business process flow. This uses Power Automate that can guide the users through a series of steps and stages. So we might say, you know, the order comes in and then it has to go through an approval process. So this is part of this interconnected thing with model-driven apps and with the platform. So heaps of different ways that you can use that. There you go. That's a lot to take in one session, but databases with the Common Data Service, you can get started without needing any coding skills and build up custom applications. I would really, really encourage you to take up the Cloud Skills Challenge. This part is one part of what you'd need to know to pass your Power Platform Fundamentals exam. And so that certification is available for you to take on this challenge and to get certified there. And that's a really good badge to earn. Microsoft Learn as well, if you follow that short link there, you'll find the Power Platform stuff, and it will flesh out a little bit more than what I've done here, but hopefully that has given you a really good grounding to get excited about model-driven apps. Model-driven apps are exciting. Please connect with me if you'd like to learn more about this, about any Power Platform stuff, or talk about career change. And thank you, Donna and Seth, and everyone behind this event. What an amazing event. Thank you for having me, and thank you everyone for watching.